Welcome everyone to another episode of Slasher Scotty. I am your host, Scotty McCoy, and boy, do I have a surprise for all of you. I have on Zoom with me right now for a third time, and Myrna, and she is going to be playing Rosie in Attack of the Corn Zombies, and she also was the assistant director for Desperate Souls. How you doing today, Anne?
I am great, Scotty.
Awesome. So glad to have you back third time. I think I only had a select few on for three times. I don't think I had anybody on more than three. And I know you're going to be on for a fourth time eventually. So,
Oh yeah.
we'll definitely be having you to
That
be. Absolutely. So for the people that haven't seen the first two interviews, or and this is their first one watching, or if they just need a refresher, let's just kind of give everybody a refreshing dose of who you are and let everybody know, how did you get your start into filmmaking and acting?
Okay, so I decided when I was in my late 50s that I wanted to be on TV. It was kind of like a bucket list thing. I had been working in information technology for over 40 years, and it's not as creative as some other fields, and wanted to get a little creativity into my life. So I figured out how to do background acting for the shows that film in the Chicago market. And did that for a while, took some acting lessons. I had done plays in high school, so it wasn't like I had no exposure to it before, but that was a very, very long time ago. And so eventually got an agent or two and started booking, student films, independent films. And I really like the passion that comes along with independent filmmakers. They're not doing it for the money because it's really hard to make money as an independent filmmaker. Basically, we try to cover our costs. So everybody who does it actually wants to be doing it and wants to make a good film and wants to contribute as much as they can. So that, that brings me a lot of joy besides actually doing the acting part. And then I kind of moved from acting to producing, and then on some films I do both.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So before we can even go into Desperate Souls and Attack of the Corn Zombies, kind of give us an update on what they are. What is the synopsis of both of these films?
Well, Desperate Souls is a horror romance film, and it is about a young enchantress who is a succubus. So she derives energy from having intercourse with men and basically totally drains their energy, which ends up killing them. And she seeks out people who are in very desperate situations, so people suffering from depression. And she finds this gentleman, Devon, who is on the verge of doing something tragic, and she's attracted to him, but she senses something different about him. So she actually builds a relationship with him, but she's a very jealous individual. So people that he has had relationships with before, she goes after, and there's plenty of gore for people who like gore.
Nice. So this is with Jamie Apple and Angel Bradford are in it, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. That's awesome. They're amazing people, great
Oh
people.
yeah, and that is available now on Amazon Prime
Okay.
Video. It just came out about a month ago, and also it's available on Blu-ray and DVD through the Acristar Films website.
Awesome. Awesome. And what about Attack of the Corn Zombies?
Attack of the Corn Zombies is a totally different beast. When we were filming, It Came From Somewhere, which was September of last year, we were at an Airbnb in central Illinois and surrounded by cornfields. And as the night went on, after we were done filming, sitting by the fire pit, having a few drinks, hanging out, getting silly, and some folks started kind of running through the corn a little bit, which was like way higher than you had. I mean, it was super dense. Making little TikTok videos and stuff like that. And then we thought, wouldn't it be fun to make some kind of a movie that involves corn? And how about zombies? And so Steve Herman, with all his creativity, got his wheels turning and came up with a script for Attack of the Corn Zombies. So it's set in 1969, and we've got hippies, and we've got greasers, and we have a couple of farmers. So Lynn Lowry is in that one. I'm privileged to share a scene or two with her. Basically, the corn is a big thing for this town, and people eat a lot of it, and things start getting wacky, and those zombies start appearing, and Again, a lot of blood. We made a lot of blood production.
That's what I love about you guys. You guys are so creative with these movies. Like, you don't see movies with succubuses and corn zombies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is the first time for me as an actor. So I play Rosie, who's one of the farmer types, as is Lynn Lowry. And it's the first time I have worn a wig in a film. It's the first time I had special effects makeup put on me, and it's the first time I play a zombie.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, I love your look. I used it on the promo flyer. I love your look as the zombie. It's so cool.
Yeah, I hardly recognize myself, which is pretty awesome.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God. That's amazing. Because like you heard of like Children of the Corn, a classic Stephen King novel, and this just takes it to a whole new level, you know, with zombies and corn, and it's unique.
Yeah, and we were really lucky that the towns that we film in are very small towns, and people, there's not a whole lot of production down there. So we put out a call for background extras, and we got 40 people to show up and get zombified. They all provided their own 1969 appropriate wardrobe. We put zombie makeup on every one of them, did a little class on how you move like a zombie. And this was interesting because, you know, most zombie movies either have runners or slow-moving zombies. We got a little bit of both going on in this one.
Nice.
And we also have classic cars that decorate the set when we film outside. So
Nice.
it's looking kind of awesome. It's kind of got a lot like a grindhouse style to it, the way it's being edited. But yeah, it's looking really sweet.
Nice. I noticed that with like small town filmmaking and productions, because like with our 72 film, like we had a casting call for extras for zombies, and like we got hundreds of them that we had to turn people away because we had too many. And you know, yeah, even though it's like, oh, that's great to have all this help, but it still costs money to buy the makeup to transform these people into zombies. And
Oh,
when you're a
yeah.
small production, you don't have the funds really to do that.
Yeah, we did kind of start running low on the zombie makeup there toward the very end. We were
Yeah.
like, hey, we could cut back the numbers, you know, on the very last day, just so that we wouldn't run out of makeup because
Yeah.
it's not a zombie. But yeah, it's nice because those people, again, they actually really want to be there and really want to be part of it. And some productions with their crowdfunding campaigns, they sell those kind of roles.
Yeah.
And we just don't feel right about doing
Right.
that. We might sell a voiceover role here or there or whatever,
Yeah.
but for stuff like background, you know, you're using a lot of people's time, we don't feel like they should have to pay in order to be there.
Exactly. I think even for our crowdfunding, we had like maybe three or four spots that you could pay for a role, but we made sure that the role was a really nicely outputted speaking role where they got an intense amount of airtime on camera. Because if you're forking out their hard-earned money, I'm not giving them a side role where they're just a zombie walking down. Like that's not worth it. Yeah,
Agreed.
absolutely. So speaking of the makeup process, what like did you like, because I remember seeing yours, but was there any like makeup where like there was a corn in one of the zombies' head or anything like that?
Yeah, we did some of that. So I had bought 50 ears of corn to use as props, and that was, you know, like new fresh corn. Cooked about half of it and used the other half uncooked. Plus, then we had people like scrounged around in cornfields for because we filmed in May, so there was
Okay.
no corn really growing yet. But like leftover junk that was just laying around in the field, so those scraps were what we were sticking on people with latex.
Okay.
So we didn't put that on everybody, but you know everybody did. So Beth Metcalf was in charge of the special effects makeup for this, and then Ashley Hefner and Hope Hefner helped
Okay.
out. So we would put people through kind of like an assembly line process, and we would, you know, pick who got, you know, like the corn pieces on them too, because you have to get that latex on, let it dry, you know, adhere everything. So yeah, I think with mine, I had some corn kernels stuck on my cheek, and then you know, like some stalk coming out of my neck type of thing.
That's really
Basically, people
cool.
were kind of like turning into the corn.
That's really cool. It's such a unique idea. Even the same with Desperate Souls, it's such a unique idea because how many films do you see that have succubuses in it or succubi? Is it succubi?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one thing that's great about Steve Herman as a writer is that he has original ideas.
Right.
We've talked about doing fan films. just can't bring ourselves to do it because he has such good ideas and he loves to develop characters. And there's no, to him, there's like no point in just reusing somebody else's characters. You know, like
Right.
there should be new characters and there should be relationships between the characters and not violence just for the sake of violence, but it's part of the story. So
Right.
it always kind of comes back to the story.
Yeah, and like when you do like a fan film, for example, Friday the 13th, you can't really make money off it, which means you can't sell DVDs.
Yeah, you're
You
not
can't
supposed
really have a
to.
premiere per se. I mean, I guess you could if you don't get caught, but like
Right.
you really, I mean, legally you're not allowed to because you don't own the rights. So where you, as you do, for example, Attack of the Corn Zombies or Desperate Souls or, you know, It Came From Somewhere, you get to make any of the profit you make, you get to keep it. It doesn't have to go into your next production because
Exactly.
it's your work.
Right.
Yep, absolutely. So I guess what was the hardest part in getting both of these films made? Was it just the money, scheduling, anything else?
Desperate Souls went very smoothly. We actually filmed a teaser in December, and then we filmed the full film in February. So everybody had a chance to kind of get to know each other and work with each other a little bit in December, and then February went smoothly. The one thing that was different about that production is there are some intimacy scenes. So we did hire an intimacy coordinator to work with us to choreograph those scenes. It's
Yeah.
not really fair to the actors to just say like, make it look real.
You're
You know,
right.
that's not good direction for them,
Right.
and we want them to stay focused on their characters and stuff. So it's kind of like, you know, when you work on blocking for a play, I mean, you figure out where the movement should be, when the movement should occur in relationship to the lines. And we worked with a great cinematographer on that one, John Wesley Norton, which was nice because then that freed Steve Herman's time up to really focus on directing. So that one overall was a very smooth process. Attack of the Corn Zombies, we had a lot of challenges with. I'm going to be honest. We had five people drop. And some really close to when we were ready to begin filming, to the point where like we had no more favors to call in from actors that we knew to come in and take this one last role. So Steve had to write that character out of the script with a
Wow.
week to go to production, which put a huge burden on him. I mean, of course he, you know, pulled it off flawlessly. And then we had some people who came in toward the very end who had a lot of lines to learn and, you know, like 7 to 10 days worth of time. But and then we also had an illness on set. We had an emergency like 12:30 in the morning, which actually is a good time to have an emergency because you're not actually filming then.
Right.
And that the person is fine and everything. It had nothing to do with the production. But it gave us a little bit of time to think. They were supposed to film again and wrap the very next day. So it gave Steve and company time to figure out like how are we gonna do this? You know, we gotta kill her off quickly and without her face showing to the camera. And a lot of us were wearing wigs in the production, so that was very favorable. We had somebody who was the same size and build and skin tone as the person who was ill. So I had slept in a little bit so that I could have some sleep that night. And I came to set about 8:39 in the morning and I see this body laying on the floor in a pool of blood and you know the wig and you know the hair down and it was the woman's costume and I'm like, who is that on the ground? They're like, yeah, we got it all figured out. She has
Perfect.
met her demise in a different way. But you know, I mean you gotta be adaptable. You can't panic when things go wrong. You have to just think of the alternatives and make a decision and move forward. And that's exactly what we did. But we really liked the way everything has turned out.
Yeah,
And she was
absolutely.
really awesome. And Lynn Lowry was such a treasure to work with. I got to drive her to and from the hotel. So we had some time in the car together. And, you know, she was great
Awesome.
at sharing stories over the years. I mean, she's been in so many different films and had so many different experiences. Just a real joy to be with.
Nice. Yeah, when we were filming 72, right before it was like maybe like not even, it was less than a week till we were supposed to film, and somebody dropped, and it was the main role, like the leading male role dropped.
Oh, that's terrible.
And thankfully, our stunt coordinator, who's our go-to guy for everything, he does all of our stunts. He played our killer in our first movie. He's a really dependable local talent. And I asked him, "Hey, do you want to do this role?" And I didn't say it was lead role because he has 3 days or whatever to remember to know his lines. So he's like, "Yeah, sure, I'll be down." Like we were filming, like this was in July. It was like we were filming that those 2 weekends, those Saturday and Sunday, and then the next Saturday and Sunday. And the first Saturday and Sunday were all the main like lead up scenes, and the second two Saturday and Sundays were like the death, bloody gore, shit goes to the, hits the fan type of scenes. So, but this is like all character development stuff. And he comes on the set, he goes, "You gave me 3 days to look at my lines." And I look at my lines and I'm thinking, "I accept this role. Do you a favor, because I'll do anything for you guys." And I'm thinking, it's a side role, just a small little part, maybe 1 or 2 pages. I'm looking at 35 pages I have to memorize in 3 days. So he gets the set, right? We forgot to give him the updated script. We were scrambling trying to get him the part and everything. We gave him the old script. He's like, we're like, so there was a scene that we had in where he was supposed to have like a canoodling, kissing his wife type of scene or whatever. Like, and he had, and he's like writing notes, random goings on he put in. And it turns out that whole scene was scrapped. He's like, "Come on, I've been practicing the random goings on with my wife." And then he ended up, then there was another scene where he was supposed to like be really crying, like a really emotional scene, crying. And he practiced crying for 3 days straight. Guess what? That scene got cut. He's like, "I'm practicing, bawling my eyes out, trying to cry on cue, and now I don't even have to cry."
It's a lot of pressure to come in at the last minute. I've done it twice. Once for like an infomercial through my agent, where she was like, like, "Are you busy tomorrow?" kind of thing. And I'm like, "No, actually, I'm free. How would you like to, come and do this commercial?" And I'm like, "Fine." I mean, commercials are easy. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just smile like a fool the entire time and you make good money. So she sends me the script, and it turns out the location was like a 3.5 hour drive from my house, and the call time was like 9 a.m. and it was 13 pages of dialogue. And I started to kind of panic a bit. And I called her up and I'm like, I'm not a quitter, but I might have to quit. Like, I don't know if I can physically do this, and I would have to really drive up tonight. So I can't study my lines while I'm driving very well. It's good because it's going to be dark when I'm driving. And so I'm like, what am I going to do? So they ended up, they put me up in a hotel, and it was a lot of short bursts so I could have the script, just off camera and glance down and, do a chunk and then break and glance down again. And the other was for a feature film, where, again, we didn't have a big part, but it was kind of an important part. And the character was kind of wonky a bit, but the director was just so patient in terms of trying to convey to me what she was looking for, since we really didn't have any rehearsal time until like right before each scene. So it can be done. I give a lot of credit to people who do agree to do that kind of thing, because it's kind of an extra layer of pressure. But like I say, in this case, the couple that we had, who subbed in at the last minute, were just astounding. And even though we had a last minute difficulty during the shoot, we made everything happen and the film's looking great.
Perfect. That's awesome. So do you have any, like, I know for Desperate Souls you won't, because Desperate Souls is out, but for Attack of the Corn Zombies, I guess it's still in post-production. So do you have like a finishing funds Indiegogo that you want to promote or anything?
Yes, we do have a finishing funds campaign. You can access it by just typing in cornzombies.com.
There you go.
It is due to close on Friday night, but we've already hit our goal, so then it will go in demand. But we are going to be winding down on perks that have credits actually in the film. Usually what we do is, when we're getting ready to prepare the actual credits for filming, then I'll change those perks to, like, you could still get a producer credit, but it would be IMDb only and not also credit in the film, because we need to get that set with music and stuff. And then we have a fun perk that I don't think anybody has taken the last one yet. It's called reaction in credits. we did a similar thing for It Came From Somewhere, where you can film yourself reacting to seeing a zombie. So you can do whatever you want for like 10 seconds, and then that will be included in the end credits of the film. So it's kind of
Nice.
fun. We've
That
gotten
is
some
cool.
very creative submissions on that so
Yeah, a
far.
lot of people like those type of perks because they get to see themselves on camera and they can film it from the comfort of their own home. They don't have to drive out of state if they're, if they're not, you know what I mean, if they want that, but they're like, I have to go out of state to do it. They don't have to go on set. They can just do it right for with their own iPhone, Android, whatever, or and film it and send it, and then they get to see themselves in the film. So definitely, that's amazing. So if you want to be in this movie, get that perk. That sounds like super fun. Absolutely. So you already mentioned when where Desperate Souls can be seen. If you want to mention it again, you can. But what about Attack of the Corn Zombies? When and where would that be able to be seen?
So Attack of the Corn Zombies, right now we're saying a September release. It'll
Okay.
probably be earlier than that, but we want to make sure that we give the sound and music composition guy enough time to work with the films because he does original compositions for everything. And then at that time, so through the Indiegogo, you can pre-order DVD and Blu-ray or a download of the film also. And then those will get delivered once we actually hit the release date. So September at the latest. And then we submit usually through FilmHub to streaming platforms, Amazon Prime, Tubi, wherever they feel like picking it up. It's really not up to us. You kind of submit to them, and then they chop it out to all the different streaming platforms for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds good. So last question I got for you. Anything at all that you would like to promote, websites, social medias, any other projects coming up that maybe we can give I guess a teaser for that we might be seeing you back on slash Scotty to promote as well?
Sure. So social media wise, on Facebook, if you search for AcroStar Films, we have a group that's got like 4,400 people in it now.
Nice.
Up there, it's called like Indie Horror Films from AcroStar Films. So you can join that. AcroStarFilms.com is our website, and we also have merchandise available through our website, like t-shirts and coffee mugs and canvas bags and stuff like that for all the different films that we've done. Coming up, we have something called They Came Back From Somewhere, which is related to It Came From Somewhere. So it's more or less a sequel, although some of us who got killed off in the first one are in the second one, but perhaps as different types of characters.
Okay.
Haven't like officially announced that yet, but it got like half announced by the city of Farmer City. So I had contacted the city manager to see if we could close off the street in downtown for a filming day. And right away she posted on their Facebook group
Nice,
that we're doing this
nice.
movie, which was pretty cool. It's nice that they are enthusiastic about us coming
Right.
back.
Is that going to be black and white as well?
It's gonna be black and white. Yeah, set in the 1950s, sci-fi, alien spaceship type of thing. I'm working up some ideas for the interior of the spaceship design.
Nice.
Actually, I'm shopping today, looking for inspiration. But it'll be the typical 1950s cheesy B movie look to it intentionally, and hopefully the dialogue that Steve Herman is writing is not too convoluted for those of us that might need to speak it, but we shall see. And then so that will film in August,
Okay.
and then in November we are filming something called Deremembered. So
I
this
saw that, and I can't wait to hear this.
Yes, this is a psychological thriller. It's going to star Angela Bradford. And it's about a relationship between two people that one perceives in one way and the other perceives in a totally different way. And there's a lot of conflict between the two of them and tension as they try to psychologically manipulate each other.
Wow.
So that will film in November, and that's going to be a smaller cast. A lot of times with these movies, we have like the whole EchoStar family in it, and that's what They Came Back From Somewhere will be like. Most of the people are returning for that sequel, but this one is going to be a smaller, tighter cast in a super creepy looking location. The kind of movie that really should make you think a lot, and you should be scared.
Nice. Yeah, and I mean, that's another thing about you guys, which is different. You go from big casks and then you'll just shrink it down to a smaller cask, but it's just as equally good, if not better. Like all your content is amazing. And I mean, how do you do it when you have Angel Bradford, like the queen of IndyCar?
Angel is a very good actress.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, she can run around and scream and get bloody and stuff, but she's got some chops. She can really act. As if you watch Desperate Souls, you will see that.
Yeah.
And we're really happy to be able to work with her again. She really likes the idea of the film. And you know, again, when people want to be there, they'll put in the work and they'll do a great job.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Anne, for joining me this evening.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me again. And I will be
Absolutely.
back a fourth time.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, just to let everybody know, if you're watching this on YouTube, please don't forget to, I'm Slasher Scott, so you want to slash that subscribe button, share on social media, like, comment, whatever, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, if you're listening to the audio version. Make sure to rate, comment, like, share on social media. If I'm on Cameo, get a Cameo for, whatever, birthdays, anniversaries. If you want to break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend, but you're afraid to do it, I'll do it for you. Just, book me. I mean, that's what I'm here for. I got my little Funko, so make sure to check that out then. And of course, my book, Foreword by Jamie Lee Curtis, The Ultimate Halloween Movie Experience, 18 original interviews, thousands of trivia questions. And I guess that's about it for me. Oh, and my merchandise is on virtual merch booths. Buy my merchandiser. Check them out. Great quality content. I'm not wearing it tonight. I got in right into comfy clothes after a long day of at the office today and literally didn't have barely any time to myself. So I came right here to the interview and I just got into something comfy and I didn't put on my Slasher Scotty attire tonight. But again, Anne, I'm so glad to have you on for a third time, and we're definitely gonna make it a fourth. And that time we'll promote They Came From Somewhere. And what was the other one? Dismembered?
Remembered.
Do you remember? That's it. All right, yes. So we'll end up promoting both of those next time you're on. So maybe we'll have you on. I'm going on hiatus from August until December because of my schooling and everything. So because I'm back getting my master's, so I'll reach back out and have you back on December into January. We could promote them both.
That was awesome. Thank you, Scotty.
Awesome. Absolutely. Have a great rest of your night.
All right, you too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.